Hello, and welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. My guest today is John Morrison. John Morrison is a podcast host and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. Every month, he joins me for the Culture Corner, and he connects the dots for us all across different genres of music. And all of February, every week for Black History Month, he's here to discuss some of the many Black artists who've been rock and roll innovators through the decades. Last week, we listened to Jackie Brenston and Bo Diddley from the 50s, talked about Jimi Hendrix in the 60s. Now we are headed into the 1970s. So, John, what was going on in Black music in the 1970s as it pertains to rock music? What was happening?
Yeah. And in general, the 1970s, you could argue the greatest decade of American music. Soul music is happening. There were a lot of innovations in jazz. You had Miles Davis taking rock influences from rock to create this new fusion in jazz. And a lot of the music was becoming more experimental. Like we talked with Jimi Hendrix in the 60s last week about his willingness to experiment in the studio. A lot of Black rock musicians took on that challenge, you know, and used effects and the recording studio and tape loops and all of this stuff to create music that just was bolder, trippier. It just had more of a modern pulse to it.
The song you've brought us today to kind of give us an example of that is The Temptations' Psychedelic Shack, which, you know, from the title, you already know that it's going to be psychedelic somehow. But what should we be listening for as we hear this?
Yeah, Psychedelic Shack is a fun tune. It's funky, it's hip, and it really shows how a lot of established acts were trying their hand at incorporating rock and psychedelic rock specifically into their sound. At the time, Motown was, you know, far and above the most popular record label. And Motown had a staff producer, songwriter, and arranger named Norman Whitfield, who was really at the forefront of pumping this new sound into the Motown sound. And he worked on all of these Temptations records that were created during this era, and you can really feel his thumbprint on a lot of this music.
Now, I don't know if you can answer this, but maybe you can. How successful was that for the Temptations to get into psychedelic music at the time?
I think it did well for them at the time. You know, you could say it was like a passing fad. Some of those records during that era have really endured. Cloud Nine, for example, is like a classic tune that never gets old. I know Motown kind of leaned in on this in a lot of ways. Of course, Stevie was in a different bag. Stevie was experimenting in his own way, but the Supremes did like a trippy kind of like psychedelic record. I'm curious as to how the musicians felt, you know, looking back at that, you know, yeah, looking back at that time and making something that was very much of its time.
Well, let's open the door and enter the Psychedelic Shack. It's The Temptations on World Cafe.
Hold it. Listen.
Yeah.
sign outside that says, come in and take a look at your man. You'd be surprised what you might find.
I think it's worth noting here that the B-52s did not release Love Shack for another 20 years. And there are some similarities in what we just heard. That was from 1970, Psychedelic Shack from The Temptations. I'm talking to World Cafe correspondent John Morrison about black rock and roll artists from that era today. And the next one, a name people might recognize, probably do, Shuggie Otis. Tell us about Shuggie Otis.
Yeah, Shuggie Otis was a brilliant musician, a guitarist, singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist. His father was the blues musician, Johnny Otis. And Shuggie was really like a child prodigy, right? He played on his father's records as a kid. He could write string arrangements and compose music at a young age. He was really brilliant and also an innovator. On his album, Inspiration Information, he used a lot of like early synthesizers and early drum machines. He really had an eye toward the future as a musician.
The song that you brought for us is from Inspiration Information. Tell us about this song.
Out of My Head is really absolutely one of my favorite songs. You hear this early drum machine and this gorgeous electronic keyboard that he's playing throughout the record, and his guitar playing is really understated and beautiful, and it feels like a lot of the music that would come after it. Like if you played this record for someone and told them that it was made in the 80s, they would probably believe you. You know, you can hear shades of the music that Stereolab would make later in the 90s. You know, it really prefigured a lot of what would come after it, and really drives home the idea of Shuggie Otis as an innovator and somebody who's forward thinking as a musician.
Shuggie Otis, Out of My Head, from 1974 on World Cafe.
Out of my head, it's growing.
Shuggie Otis, Out of My Head, on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, hanging out with World Cafe correspondent John Morrison today. Usually you hear him on the Culture Corner, and he's here every Tuesday in February, highlighting Black artists who made a huge impact on rock and roll throughout the decades. We've done the 50s, we've done the 60s, the 70s, and now it's the 80s. And the song that you've brought for us from the 80s is from right at the beginning of the 80s, from 1981. It's Grace Jones, Tell Us All About Her.
Yeah, Grace Jones, you know, well known as a model and actress, but she was also a force as a musician. She had this powerful voice, and she was also very quirky and unique. She made a lot of music that felt like it could be early electronic music or like goth or post-punk. She really could dive deep into a reggae bag or, you know, rock and roll. She was really a musician that had a mastery and a broad imagination to be able to touch on a lot of different genres. And stylistically, she really influenced a lot of folks that came after her. You know, Annie Lennox, Santa Gold, Janelle Monáe, a bunch of people took little bits of Grace Jones's DNA to make their own thing.
I mean, it's even when you mentioned the people that she influenced, you could say the same thing about them. But, you know, her artistry also extended to things like her album covers, which I think are some of the coolest album covers to come out of, you know, the 80s or ever. It was a full, like, experience what she would do. We're going to hear Pull Up to the Bumper. What can you tell us about this song?
Pull Up to the Bumper is a classic. I grew up hearing this as a kid. And a few months ago when we did the episode talking about Tom Tom Club, we talked a lot about Compass Point Studios, where the first Tom Tom Club record was recorded. Grace Jones recorded a lot of music there as well. And with Pull Up to the Bumper, you could really feel that Caribbean influence. It's kind of funk, it's kind of rock, it's kind of new wave, but it's also kind of Caribbean. It's really like a stew of different musical influences. And it's like a block party classic. You know, DJs still play it at parties. It's just an enduring classic song.
Okay, so we should turn it up really loud, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Pull Up to the Bumper. It's Grace Jones. It's World Cafe.
Driving down those city streets.
That was Grace Jones, Pull Up to the Bumper on World Cafe, song from 1981. World Cafe correspondent John Morrison is here playing you songs from Black innovators of rock and roll. And now, I at least, probably a lot of people listening, have been pretty familiar, at least known the names of most of the artists that you've played so far today. But I will admit, I do not know your next one.
Yeah.
Who was Tina Bell?
Yeah, Tina Bell, very interesting and kind of tragic story. She is from Seattle, was from Seattle, Washington, singer, songwriter, and the front woman of the band Bam Bam. And Tina Bell, in recent years, a lot of folks have been discovering her work and her story. She's been kind of retroactively crowned the godmother of grunge, because Bam Bam was a band, early Seattle band, that prefigured this mixture of punk and hard rock that would end up being branded as the grunge sound. And a lot of the early Seattle bands were influenced by Tina as a front woman and influenced by Bam Bam as a band, you know, and their stories. Even Kurt Cobain, when he was younger, worked as a roadie for Bam Bam, right?
Really?
Yeah. So she was really an unsung figure in this development of American underground rock music. And she passed away and didn't really get, you know, her flowers, so to speak. And she's only recently, because, you know, journalists have been writing about her story and sharing her story, and people have been revisiting this music. Now people are understanding just how ahead of the curve Tina Bell was.
I'm so glad that you brought this today so that more people can hear that story and more people can hear Bam Bam and Tina Bell. The song you brought is Ground Zero. And so this is from, I guess, like 1983, 1984. Tell us about the song.
Yeah, Ground Zero really shows, you know, like we've been talking about, just how ahead of the curve Bam Bam was as a band. You hear that it's very much in some ways indebted to the 80s rock, underground rock zeitgeist of the time. But you can also hear that they're going for something different or something newer. It's not just a formulaic thing. You can hear that they're, like with a lot of this music that we've been talking about, you can hear them kind of pushing at the edge of what's been done. And, you know, if you know the story and you know how they influenced a lot of bands that came later, you can identify like, oh, this was something that would lead us into something newer.
Let's do this. It's Ground Zero from Bam Bam. This is World Cafe. We'll be right back. Awesome. That was Bam Bam, Ground Zero. Bam Bam, fronted by a woman named Tina Bell, who is now considered the woman who invented grunge back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
You heard that on World Cafe. John Morrison brought us that track, and he's here every Tuesday this month, taking us through the decades of Black musical innovators in rock and roll, part of Black History Month here on World Cafe. John, thank you so much. I'm going to go listen to more Bam Bam.
Yeah. Thank you, Raina.
I'll see you next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
John Morrison is a podcast host and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. He joins me every month for the Culture Corner. I'm Raina Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe.